listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I think we should call it Tuesdays with Trevor. What do you think?
Hey, that'd be cool. Let's just start another series because we don't have enough
series going on. We are continuing our series today. The authors of a new book from Emmanuel Press,
yes,
He Restores My Soul. And it's like two authors. It's two for Tuesdays.
Two authors. Oh, there you go.
Two for Tuesdays.
That'll work.
And Pastor Trevor Sutton with a new book from Concordia Publishing House up in just a moment as well. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Sarah's totally taking pictures in the studio of the book.
I left my phone on my desk, which is how I normally do our Instagram story, so I have to use the iPad. Like I'm missing something.
Feel so like
I don't have enough technology in front of me.
Not enabled.
You're really
disabled because you don't have your technology with you. Joining us today, Pastor Trevor Sutton. He's at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan, author of a new book from Concordia Publishing House, Clearly Christian. Pastor Sutton, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's a joy to be with you.
We're trying out some new technology too. It's kind of fun to I'm expecting the hum of the phone line. There's no hum of the phone line, so it's a little bit
wait,
of panic
there
for a moment.
Oh, no.
Clearly Christian. what a title. I was intrigued by the title, and then as I got to dig into the book, I was like, oh, that's where he's going with this. So why is it important, Trevor, to be clear when we speak about Jesus, especially when we're speaking to those who do not yet know the Savior?
I think being clear about Jesus is increasingly important in our world because our world is really unclear, really confused. And when I mean confused, I mean confused about everything. You look at the news, you look at politics, you look at education, all of it. Just there seems like it's just filled with confusion. And that confusion has come over into the Christian faith. And I think a lot of people are really, really confused about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. For instance, it's very common to interact with someone who has completely no idea who Jesus is. It's common to interact with someone who has no idea what's in the Bible. It's pretty typical. You talk to someone, they don't really have any clue what's going on at a church. And because of that, we have to be absolutely clear in our proclamation of the gospel because of this growing confusion in our culture.
And there's a way, and I don't know if social media has any impact on this these days, but it's so easy to talk past each other, and maybe that's more so when it's you know, our Christian faith, and it's something we've grown up in, and we just kind of assume that other people know what we're talking about and know where we're coming from. But I feel like that can probably add to this confusion. And can you give us some examples of how these misunderstandings about Christianity have come up because of this maybe talking past each other or this confusion about what Christianity is?
Sorry, I didn't catch you. I was too busy tweeting as you were saying.
Good one. Okay, I was gramming, so.
I think you're exactly right that our culture and society, we've just lost the basic art and practice of discourse and conversation. We've really lost the ability to listen and all these different things. So no, I think it's no surprise that there's confusion. And I agree entirely that our digital age has really been a catalyst for that. An example of Christianity being misunderstood, one that I really like to share with people. This happened to me several years ago. When I was a student at the seminary, and I was presenting at an academic conference. I did my presentation. I presented a paper, and I was talking to somebody afterwards, and he was a professor of English at a university in California. And we started talking and everything. And he asked me what I was doing for my studies. And I told him I was at the seminary. And he said, oh, what are you going to do with that degree? And I told him I'm going to be a pastor. And then the conversation got really weird and really awkward. He leaned in really close to me, and then he began to whisper. And he said, are you a Christian? And I was just so perplexed by this that we were having this normal conversation about an academic topic. And then suddenly he got really kind of perplexed. And I think I talked to him more. And what it was is it was very clear that he thought being a Christian meant you were kind of a brainless believer, and that it was really hard for him to imagine a Christian, a student studying to be a pastor would be at an academic conference. So I think that's one way I've seen where people are misunderstanding the Christian faith. They think following Jesus means checking your brain at the door. And that's just simply not the case, that in fact, we can love Jesus with our whole heart and our whole mind, and that we can engage the gospel intellectually, and that's a good thing. And that's just one way that I was shocked to find this really powerful confusion that he had about me as a Christian.
So being clear about what we believe, that example takes me right back to, you know, the first article of the creed. God has given me this brain. He's given me my eyes and ears and all my members. He's given me all this that I may use it to serve my neighbor and to serve him to his glory. To be clear about that.
Amen. And clearly, it's a heart thing following Jesus, but it's also a mind thing. And God's given you both. And both of those can be used in service to proclaiming the gospel. So no, you're exactly right that this is, and I think it's increasingly important in our confused world to be able to engage the brain that God's given us.
And certainly some of us he's given better equipped brains than others. How can
you're gonna dig a hole with that one?
I don't claim to be one of the people who's better equipped with a better.
We aren't gonna
brain.
Name names right now, right?
How can we be clear without being verbose? Sometimes we think like we have to explain everything down to the most. To the greatest detail and make sure that we have all the very correct words and explain all the Latin derivatives in order for someone to clearly understand what we believe, what we teach, what we confess.
I think the easiest way that we can be clear, particularly without being verbose, is to take something from journalism. What they teach journalists very early on is don't bury the lead. And in other words, don't lead with the least significant part of the story. And then by the very end of the article, say, oh, by the way, this huge thing happened. Instead, start with the lead. If you study journalism, they teach you an inverted pyramid where the most important detail goes first, and then the subsequent kind of supporting details come after the fact. And the reason for that is if a reader begins to drift and lose focus, they've at least got the most important thing right in the first couple sentences. And so I think that would be a key thing as a follower of Jesus in a confused world. We can be clear by leading with Jesus. If you lead with everything other than Jesus and then finally say, oh yeah, the Christian faith is also about Jesus, you've probably confused that person. You're probably confused yourself. And I'd imagine that person's attention has drifted out the window.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. So it's more of a journalism thing than it is about maybe, I don't know, reading a novel where you get to the best part, maybe last. You lead with the best part. You lead with Jesus, the most important part, so that people kind of, you get that across first. And I had a really good question, and now I don't remember what it was.
Well, now you have less. You don't have to spend as much time reading when you're, you know, reading stories. You only have to read the first few sentences, apparently.
That is true. Yes, I like
that. And what's interesting is this is certainly not to say that we can't have this huge, expansive conversation and discourse with people. But I think, you know, a simple rule is really just make sure we're being clear that the Christian faith is about Christ and not get lost in all the details. And so in that regard, yeah, we can be like Dostoevsky in our conversations about Jesus. We can go on and on and on if the conversation invites us to do so. But I think a general rule is really just think like a journalist and lead with Jesus. Don't bury the lead.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually wrote down what I was going to ask, and I forgot that I wrote it down because I was like so enthralled in what
you
were saying.
That's something I would do.
Oh man, it's Tuesday. And it kind of relates to that. But when you get into a conversation with something about being Christian, or you mention that, oh yeah, I go to so and so church, and they're like, oh, that's cool, but so what do you believe? Where do you go from there? Do you just like, oh, I believe in Jesus, but then where do you go? What's
a minute and a half.
Oh man, we have a minute and a half. That's probably a big question for a minute and a half. But what are those next steps for knowing where to go?
Yeah, I think a good helpful thing for me that I've kind of realized is that nobody says you have to, that evangelism requires you telling the entirety of the gospel in one 30-second interaction. Mm-hmm. So you can keep the demand high by maybe just saying, I believe that Jesus is all things new, and he's Lord of my life, and I'm captivated by what God has done for me in Jesus. And you can stop there and invite a further conversation as the situation permits. But it's kind of liberated. We don't have to tell, you don't have to start in Genesis and say, hey, do you got 6 hours to talk about this?
Where can we get your book, your new book, Clearly Christian?
Yeah, so the book will be released October 23rd. It's available through Concordia Publishing House, www.cph.org. And also, if you're in the Michigan area, there's a book release at Concordia University Ann Arbor on the 23rd of October.
It's a big party.
That's exciting.
Concordia University.
Maybe I'll go to Michigan for that. Always an excuse to go to Michigan.
There you go. It's a great place.
Great time of year, too.
Oh, it's, yes. Fall in Michigan is like the best thing ever.
Apple cider season.
Apple cider and spiced donuts and changing leaves and all the good things in life.
Yes. Clearly Christian. Exactly. Clearly Christian from Pastor Trevor Sutton, St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Lansing, Michigan. And you can get it coming up in October, yeah. October 23rd. Is that right?
That's correct.
From Concordia Publishing House. Thanks so much, Pastor Sutton, for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, we continue our series on He Restores My Soul. Cheryl Swope joins us next right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.